The Speaker now is James Council from Uganda, Kampala.
I'm going to deliberate on the subject of the calling of God upon your life. And I'm going to request that we go into the Old Testament to the first chapter of Jeremiah. And we are going to read one or two verses. And we are going to just finish there. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Actually, it's important that we go a little further just to see where Jeremiah was. Because many times we find ourselves where Jeremiah was in responding to the call of God in our lives. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ha, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. There ends our first reading. And we used to respond by saying, thanks be to God. God's calling on your life. Understanding that God is God in His sovereignty calls us to participate in what He is doing. Many times when you're working for the Lord, it's very tempting for you to forget that it's the Lord who is working. God in His sovereignty calls us to participate in what He's doing. Right now, in this place, right now, all over the world, there is something that God is doing. He's the big guy behind the scenes. And in His grace, He allows us, human beings, His creation, to participate in what He's doing. And when we are participating in what God is doing, He uses our voices. Now, some of you have very beautiful voices. Some of us, our voices are similar to those of frogs. But He uses them anyway. He uses our hands and our feet. He uses our knowledge and our ignorance. It's amazing how many times God has used me when I'm so ignorant. And He has displayed His glory in amazing ways. He uses our creativity. He uses our mistakes and experiences. We need to always remember that He's always bigger than who we are and what we are doing. God is always bigger than who we are and what we are doing. I've been on crusades where I've felt the Lord lead me to pray for the people who are deaf. And I've said, now the Lord is healing those who are deaf. And as I'm praying for the deaf, the blind begin to see. I'm not praying for the blind, I'm praying for the deaf. I don't know whether God gets it right. He's always bigger than who we are. And He's bigger than what we are doing. We need to answer the question this morning. Has God really called me? And how do we get that confirmation that God has really called me to work alongside Him? There are a couple of things I want you to think about and be reminded of. First one is the fact that God has placed fivefold ministry around you. The pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. He placed those guys there, those ladies there, so that you may be equipped for ministry. And why would God equip you for ministry if He hasn't called you? or if he hasn't placed a call on your life. Secondly, I want you to think about you living in a world that has got needs that God wants to meet. The fact that God has placed you in the church, on that village, in that nation, that has got many needs. And God in his big heart, he wants to meet those needs. It's just a confirmation that he's calling you in the equation of his divine solutions. He wants you to participate in what he's doing. Three, for some of us, even as I speak, we have clear concerns of what needs to happen in the situations where God has placed us. And whenever you are concerned about different issues, it doesn't mean that everyone is concerned the same way you are. God has a way of working out these concerns on our lives. He imposes these burdens on our lives graciously. Why? Because in a way, he's calling us in that area to avail ourselves to him, for him in his power to fix those situations. And for some of us, we get to these points of being in the disturbing discomfort about our settledness of doing nothing. You just can't settle because you feel uncomfortable being settled doing nothing. I have to do something for God. I have to do something for the kingdom. I have to do something for church. And what is that in your life? The Spirit of God is working in amazing ways in your life. And so he's got you in that disturbing discomfort about your settledness doing nothing. And he's prompting you to do something. And lastly, I want to show you that God has called you because there are things God has done through you more than one time. Even when you're not aware, you just see the hand of God in different ways, and there are always results. When you speak, when you touch, when you act, when you smile, when you move, there are always results. And some of us have had feedback from different people. Oh, you bless me. Oh, the way you touch me. And it doesn't matter who you are. I have a little girl, Harmony is her name, and she's 5 years old. And there's a lady who joined our church recently. She's called Julie. And the moment she walked through our church, Harmony recognized her, and she ran and hugged her. She was a stranger. Harmony goes and hugs this lady. 4 months down the road, this lady stands on the platform to testify about the goodness of the Lord. And the first thing she says is that the reason I'm still in this church is because a little girl, Harmony, came and hugged me, smiling for the first time when I walked through the door. The hug of Harmony, the smile of Harmony, ministered to this lady in a unique way. And that's what God does with us. Little things that we do, we touch, we say to different people, and they end up impacting them greatly and grossly. And those different feedbacks we have received from different people just confirm that God has called us. I also wanted to remind you this morning that the call of God has been upon your life even before you were born. The call of God has been upon your life even before you were born. And so these are the words that the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And so we've been called before we were born. Called to his eternal salvation. Called for the good works that we may walk in them. He preordained even the places where we find ourselves. There are many times you've said, I wish I was in Africa. I wish I was in Asia. I wish I was in China. But thank God it's just a wish. There are places that God ordained for you to be in way before you were born. But I also want to add on something else, that he ordained you, he called you into ministry before you were born. And he never consulted anybody. He just called you, he said, I'm going to use you in your times and in your generation. It's very helpful for me to help you understand that as we serve the Lord, it is a journey. As we serve the Lord, it is a journey. Anybody called by God can never get it right the first time.
can never ever have it all together the first time. Because serving God is an unfolding picture, ever unfolding. He's teaching you, He's speaking to you, He's empowering you, He's leading you, He's taking you different places, He's introducing you to levels of ministry, He's ever transitioning you. It is an amazing journey serving the Lord. It is never a question of whether we have been called. Never a question of whether we've been called. It is a matter of when we realize the calling of God upon our lives. However, I'm saying again, it is a journey. And for some of us, this journey begins at the place of desire. We just have this desire to serve the Lord and to love the Lord. For some of us, as I've mentioned before, it is concerns. Why is this like this? Why is this like this? And those concerns stay with you. But God is using that to introduce you to realize what He's called you to do. For some of us, it's an urge to do something. And those of us God has called and created, we can never sit down. We always have that urge to do something. But I also want to let you know that there are books that God has placed in your hands. And as you read them, He's revealing to you what He wants you to do. There are people God has brought your way in churches, in conferences, as they minister, as they speak. He's introducing a part of you and a part of the ministry that God has bestowed upon you. I ministered with a man of God back in Africa, translating and interpreting for him, as he was praying for the sick and doing miracle signs and wonders. And as I was doing all that, I never realized that something was rubbing off on me. But the last crusade, gospel campaign, I interpreted for him. He prayed for the sick. He did many things. And as I was standing alongside him, the Lord told me, you can do that. And so, I waited for the next opportunity when he's not there, when I'm the only one who is there. And all I did was to do what I saw him do. Amazingly, the results were the same. Because it's the same Holy Spirit. The people God has brought you under, the people you've heard speak, the people who have touched you, the people you have watched, listened to on DVD, on CDs, and watched on DVDs, all this is part of where God is taking you and what God is allowing you to do. And it's a journey. I never ever knew that the Lord began to work in my life when I was young, about maybe 6-7 years. I never ever knew. Until recently, actually it was this year, myself and my brother, twin brother, identical twin brother, is older than me by 5 minutes. We had a situation where our father was ruthless and brutal, and so our mom left our dad when we were 9 years, and he was alcoholic, and so we went without food for days, and we had to fend for ourselves at the age of 9, and it wasn't an easy situation. However, in those dark days of our lives, we got involved in church, and we are with the Sunday school. Sunday school is the children's church. That's what we call it in Uganda. And so it happened that on many occasions on the Sundays, there were no teachers for the Sunday school because all the adults wanted to be involved with the rest of the adults. And so there we were. And so as early as that, we began to take over. So we used to walk amongst these little ones and you say, every one of you sit down. We are going to sing and we are going to say something. We are going to, at that age. And so whenever we came, we did that. Myself and my brother Paul. And the Hope Church has witnessed, has tasted Paul. And so we did that. I don't know how long we did it. And the people, the little children kept on coming. I think they were enjoying what we were doing. I don't know what we were doing. But recently, I was preaching on radio. There's an FM station in Kampala called Spirit FM. And I preach on Saturday night between 10 and 11 p.m. And after preaching, I prayed for the people. And I received a text message. And it was asking me, somebody was asking me that, are you the twin who used to stay in such and such a place between these years? And then I texted back and said, yes. And then he said, I'm Edward, I want to meet you. You used to lead us in the Sunday school. And so after 4 weeks maybe, this guy comes and visits our church. And he introduces himself. He says, I'm Edward. You guys, you and your twin brother, you used to minister to us, to lead us when we are doing Sunday school. And I'm still standing. I love the Lord. I serve the Lord in such and such a church. Oh, come on, clap your hands to Jesus, everybody. Now I'm at home. We do that a lot. But, and then you look at this interesting journey where God has taken you. I took over 7 years ministering in the Anglican church. What was I doing? I was organizing the chairs, putting the mats at the altar where they're supposed to be, locking and opening the church, and leading services here and there. I began to preach at the age of 16 in the Anglican church. And all these things, the many things, I was involved in counting offerings. All these many, many things, God's call was unfolding before me. And I can never say that I only began to serve the Lord when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think that is weird. All my life, God has always known that He called me to serve Him. And when I realized that the calling of God is upon me to preach and to minister in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, at that moment I thought that was all. It wasn't all. He got me involved in prayer. He got me involved in intercession. He got me involved in fasting. He got me involved in encouraging many people, leading different fellowships in the university and in the different secondary schools where I have been, planting a church now where we are at, the last 8 years working with this church, doing crusades. And I'm seeing the Lord transition me every moment. I'm working with the pastors a lot these days, helping churches. They have fundraisings. They invite me. I speak to their people. I fundraise for them. I encourage pastors. Pastors come to me for counseling. I advise them. I don't know much, but I use the little thing I know. All I'm saying is that ministry, the call of God, is a journey. And the Lord keeps on causing it to unfold. Recently, something was born in a country where spiritual fathers come together on a monthly basis to pray for the nation and pray for the church. And we meet monthly, even with the Archbishop of the Church of Uganda and other leaders. And we pray together and wait upon the Lord. And whoever organized it thought that James is also a spiritual father. Short as I am, maybe. Yeah, but... And so I get myself involved in these different fora. I'm just showing you kind of a segment of what God will do with you. It's not one thing. He keeps on unfolding it. And as I bring this message to a close, I want to share with you some pertinent issues. And these are the doubts we face as we serve the Lord. The first number one doubt is, has really God called me? And we go through that phase. And there could be people in this room, you are still asking that question, has really God called me? And I want to encourage you that all of us have been there. And many of us are still going through that. Has really God called me? The second question is what I'm doing important? Because after we surrender to God, for God to use us in whichever way He desires, then you begin to ask the significance of what you are doing. Is what I'm doing important? And I want to say, yes, it is very, very important. Whatever the Lord has you doing is very, very important. Whether you're preaching, whether you're singing, whether you're interceding, whether you're painting pictures, whether you're working in a project on the estate, whatever you are doing for God is very, very important. I had the privilege of attending the Lausanne conference. They just concluded one, and we had stories from all over the world. But one of the stories that touched me most is a story of a young American lady that God has called into the nation of Iran to preach the gospel. And all she did was to find one Muslim family, and she asked them that, please, I need you to allow me to stay with you. And so she put on all that that apparel, the way they put on their dressing, and she began to stay with this family. And all she did was to befriend a daughter in that family and began to tell her Bible stories. Once upon a time, there was a man called Abraham, and he did like this, and he did like this. And she told her the story, the Bible story, the redemption story. And this little Muslim girl found this story so interesting. And so this Muslim girl also told the same story to another friend. And the story was also told to the mother of the home. And everybody was intrigued about the Bible stories. And before she knew, they began to commit their lives to Jesus. And now they have formed very many, many groups of sharing the Bible stories. And that's how the Lord is touching that part of the world. And they were giving us a testimony that there are many, many things that are happening. The Lord is touching that world in unique ways. The question is what she is doing important? Of course, it is very important. And sometimes you ask whether what you are doing is important. It is very important. Third question, why did I fail after I was convinced that the Lord was in it? Because on this journey, we encounter failures. And it's these failures that the enemy will use to cause you to doubt what God has placed upon you. And I want to assure you that all of us have failed before. And I actually have a sneaky feeling that even tomorrow I'm going to fail. But that does not say that God has not called me. I fail, I stand up, and I continue serving the Lord. So it's part of the game. The other question is, how are others perceiving me? At times we are so self-aware of ourselves and we are timid and afraid of what others will think about us. And there has been one thing that has stopped us from serving the Lord the way He's calling us to. What if they think I'm proud? What if they think I'm ambitious? What if they think that I'm so much of an extrovert? What if they say that, do you think you are so great that you are the only one that is doing that? We have those questions at times. But I want to encourage you that people's opinions are untamable. People's opinions about you are untamable. You just choose not to be obnoxious. Obey the Lord and serve Him. And then lastly, the big question in our hearts as we serve the Lord is, will the Lord ever take me to greater levels? And greater levels mean different things for all of us. For some of us, it's greater miracles. For some of us, it's depth in clarity in the prophetic. For some of us, it's bigger projects. For some of us, it's planting churches, ministry in the nations, whichever your area is. Will the Lord take me to greater levels? And I want to say the answer is a resounding yes. Think about this, that as we serve the Lord, there are real challenges in life. Challenges in family, challenges with our children, challenges with our finances. There are real challenges in life. And at times, the devil wants you to think that if God called you, you wouldn't be struggling in that area. And the devil is a liar. And so is his mother-in-law. As we serve the Lord, challenges is our cup of tea. Actually, even if we choose not to serve the Lord, we are going to be challenged anyway. We are going to go through storms. Challenges, you know. I'm going to tell you a very funny story. Recently, I was ministering in Johannesburg in this white church. It's called Breakthrough Life. And I was doing two services. The first service went very well, and the presence of the Lord came down. And I was doing the second service, and I knew that the Lord wanted to heal the sick in that service. But the problem was, the moment they invited me, I began to feel the need of going to the gents. So I wasn't preaching like this. I was preaching a little like that. True story. Challenges as we serve the Lord. And that message, my God, it was a nightmare. I preached, I knew, I said everything I had to say, but on the inside I was dying. And I realized If I begin to move in that realm of words of knowledge, there's somebody here, it's going to take longer. But I knew the Lord wanted to do something. So, I finished preaching very briefly, and then I tell the people, everybody lift up your hands and close your eyes. And so I go to the pastor of the church, he's called John Crampton, and I say, John, I need to go to the church. And so he grabs the microphone and say, everybody pray, the Lord is here, the Lord is here. Seriously, that's what happened. So I go out and I come back still full of the Holy Spirit. And then I grab a hold of the microphone again. And then I begin to minister. The Lord wants to heal this person. And the Lord was gracious. You know the amazing miracle that the Lord did on that day? Even when I was going through a challenge. There had been a man, his name is Warren. He had been diagnosed with cancer. And his situation was degrading every day. But the Lord began to touch him on that day. And so he goes and they do the tests. And the doctor said, I don't know the language, but the doctor said that it is decreasing. The cells, the cancer cells we see in your body are decreasing. And over this period of time, this man is getting better. But I'm amazed how God would choose to do such a thing when the man of God was going through a challenge in the service. The only people who don't go through challenges are dead people. As long as you are alive, these challenges are with us. And it's a beautiful thing that the Lord will allow us to serve Him with these challenges. As I close, I'm sorry if I've taken a little longer, but as I close, I want us to think about this, that wherever we are at in our ministry lives, the main thing is to learn how to yield to the Lord. To learn how to yield to the Lord. Paul said, we have this treasure in the heaven vessel, that the excellence of power may be unto God and not of us. And the focus must always be on God's treasure. Not James's ability, not James's faith, not James's capacity to deliver. The focus is on the treasure that the Lord placed on the inside of this vessel. Never ever forget that whatever you do for God and whatever the Lord has released out of you, it all belongs to Him. The wisdom that you have, the skill that you display, the prophetic unction that you carry, the anointing that exudes out of you at times, the faith that you have on the inside of your gut, everything you move in ministry belongs to God. It's this treasure in the hidden vessels. And as you grow in ministry, you must aspire to arrive at the ultimate place of surrenderedness. The more you surrender to Him, the one who works through you, the more you see more of Him doing whatever He desires to do. The questions you should be asking as you serve the Lord is, Lord, today what do you want to do? I've seen that, I know how to do this, but what do you want to do with this service? What do you want to do with this department? What do you want to do in my area of ministry today? What is on your mind and in your heart, Lord, today? The other question is, how do you want to do it? Because at times we are locked up in this one way, one method of God using us. It doesn't work that way. Lord, how do you want me to approach this? Then how long do you want to do it? Because at times we are in a hurry to finish when God is still working. And at times we stay long when God is done. How long do you want to do this? And then the last question is, Lord, are you done? Because I want to leave when the Lord is done. in whatever assignment he has given me. And so there is this call for us to be something that is elastic. You guys keep on inventing many things, and I'm asking, maybe if you have not yet, please invent an elastic pipe so that it can expand when much water is required and decrease when little water is required. Do you have anything like that? Recently, John Noble introduced me to a friend of his, Jim Hall. And I was privileged to minister for Jim this year. And Jim housed me in his residence. And he took me to the bedroom upstairs. And there was a lamp by the bedside. I'd never seen it before. You guys keep on inventing weird things. And so, I don't know what I did, but I think I was turning and I touched it and it came on. People, I somersaulted off the bed and went on the other side. Thank God nobody was watching. And then I came back sneaking slowly and I looked at it. It was a lamp and I touched it and it went off. For the next long period, I kept on touching it and touching it. The point is, if it was existent, let us be this elastic pipe that allows the flow of God to come in us in whichever form and whichever way that the Lord wants to do. Just let me invite Carl and